word. Oh, I turned it off. What's up, everybody? It is Tuesday night. Welcome, one and all, to the grand, the great Orion podcast. My name is Chad Brock.
And I'm Zach Bailiff.
And you guys watching, listening, whatever it is you do, you're here. So I figured it out. So I took my battery.
Robbed it for the remote.
Robbed it. No, I don't think it got robbed for the remote. I think it just got, I just think it was vacant. Just flat out somebody took it. Bottom line.
Maybe the dog was tapping on it and somebody just decided to take the battery out of it instead.
No, I know who was tapping on it and somebody took the battery out. I can almost point a finger exactly to the suspects in this questioning.
Grandkids are good with noisemakers.
Little kids are fantastic with noisemakers. And I would say one wife got tired of a child making all kinds of noise and the battery fell out.
Sounds plausible to me.
What's been up, man? It's been like daggone almost a month.
Yeah. Chasing my tail, running a race that I can't win. Trying to catch a carrot on the end of a stick that isn't getting any closer.
You gotta be a faster rabbit, dude. I think we both need to be faster rabbits.
You would think.
Yeah, we're getting there. One of these days. One of these days we're gonna catch it. No, man, it's finally warm. I guess that's the big perk. It's warm and it hasn't rained in almost 4 days. So,
like a day and a half here, but no, it won't quit raining. I'm trying to plug all the leaks in my basement walls and build bows and soccer started up. And yeah, it's just, you know, life's rolling off.
I hear you, man. We've been trying to get a few new fishing rods built up here. Had a couple more drop off this week. So it's trying to get those dialed in here before we take off on Friday to head south to the old Patoka Lakes. Be back down there. That's always a good time. So, yeah, we've been just trying to get tackle organized, trying to get just all the ducks in a row. I actually put on a new line. I've like been super neglecting that process this year. Actually, it's been getting worse every year. I wait till like the 0 hour and then it's like, I should probably put on new line. You know, the first 10 fishing trips, just fish with the old stuff. Then put the new stuff on. Saves you $100.
Just cuss the memory that's built up in the line over the winter and fight all the birds' nests. And
nah, you just spray a little bit of that real snot on there, man. Spray a little lube on there. She'll fly right out. Ain't no thing.
Yeah. I'm down to about 2.5 weeks until I leave for California, and I still don't have a boat put together for that shoot yet. So that's going to be a fun little crunch time build.
Yeah, dude, it's time. You get the thing dialed in.
Just got to have a solid 101-yard mark and all the way down to my 2-3-4-yard marks. So,
yeah, but, dude, by the time you get out there, you're going to have to resight anyway.
Not out there. Last year, it was dead on when I got there. So,
you can't beat that. Can't beat that. Yeah, it'll be a good time out there regardless. Man, that's going to be the next podcast week, too.
As long as it doesn't do what it did last year and rain for 3 days straight.
That wasn't a ton of fun. La Nina, whatever they call it.
Yeah. No, it was sloppy. But But it was
Jason Cassidy would like to add that you look jacked. You look jacked. He's been working out like one, two days a week.
Yeah, just a couple,
just a couple
half effort workouts once or twice a week.
About 15 minutes is what he does every day. Every other day. Eats French fries, does lots of carbs. That's how he does it.
I did have French fries a couple nights ago.
French fries ain't bad. They're bad for you, but they ain't bad to have.
Yeah. Bad for you depends on how they're made.
True. You need a little potato every now and then. Every now and again.
Oh, yeah. Right before leg day.
I don't know where we're going. It's probably time to introduce our guest before everybody quits listening.
Before he just logs off.
These guys are back, so we're going to need to probably start this with an apology to our guest because we rambled way too much. He's a filmmaker. He's an angler. He's an all-around good dude. Got a pleasure to talk to him on the Jackson Kayak Doc Talk the other night. Enjoyed it so much. I knew that there was more to this story, so we're having him back here on the Orion Podcast. Mister, let's go with the big fish energy. Mr. Tyler, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
You see, you're going to be in the big square tonight, dude. This is all about you, maybe.
Whew. I can handle it. No, I really appreciate the invite. I was just having a ball listening to you guys get the show started there. It was like watching the movie Step Brothers there when they're doing the interviews together and everything like that. It's good times, man.
It gets even worse when we're in the same spot.
Yeah, I was gonna say you guys up there in Canada must not have much entertainment.
Man, have you seen our government? That's enough entertainment as it is, man. We won't get into that though.
That's not good entertainment. No,
that's terrible, man.
I think right now between yours and ours, it's a race for who can screw the most stuff up. But
yeah. At least we got fishing, man. That's all. As long as they don't take that away, we're good to go.
Yeah. That's all we got, boys. That's all we got. It's a good time. Hey, the fish don't care. They're still going to bite. The deer are still going to move across the ridge. Nothing changes outside except maybe the weather. And she's just about as unpredictable sometimes.
Yeah, we're getting there, man. Starting to warm up here finally. Like you guys, we had a ton of rain recently. And finally starting to see the light, so it's good. It's good. Yeah.
You guys got hit pretty hard up there.
Yeah. 20 degrees one day and a couple inches of snow the next. That's typical Ontario, man. It's what we're used to around here.
Yeah.
I like it. Good paddling, though. Good fishing, good paddling, good hunting. Everything's better.
There's the fish on for sure.
You guys got us beat in all those departments. But, dude, like the Orion Podcast. So one of the questions that we ask every single guest, every single time that we do this little podcast here, like, man, how did you get started in the outdoors? What got you interested in being outside fishing, all this fun stuff that you're into now?
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. It all starts back when I was 5 years old and my dad would to preface it, I was born here in Ottawa, which is Canada's capital, but I've moved like 12, 13 times in my life. So I've been all over Canada, a lot of different places. So a lot of my time was spent growing up out west, actually, Alberta, BC. So I was first introduced to fishing back when I was like 5 years old. My dad would take me out to the river. I was kind of raised on fly fishing. That's like my roots. And that's where everything started from there, man. He'd take me out and I was so little, he'd give me his fly rod. And I don't know, I'm sure you're familiar, but I would just whip it back and forth. Every fly that would come off that tippet would just be broken. Like I would just go through flies left, right, and center. I didn't catch a fish for, the first year or two. And, it just started progressing from there. As I got bigger, I was able to, obviously do a little more with the sport. So that's where it all started, man. Young age.
Growing up in BC couldn't have been bad.
It's brutal, man, because it's like it still holds such a big place in my heart that I go out and visit out there a couple times a year, and I never want to come back, man. It's, I call it God's country. It's, if you've never been, you have to experience it at least once in your life. It's unreal.
Yeah, it, any time I see, I mean, film work or, you know, hunt, guys doing hunts and stuff, anything out that way, it just, it's definitely a destination that's on the bucket list. I got a couple buddies up in Alberta and they do a lot of moose hunts and stuff yep. like that. And it's just, it's another world.
Yeah, it's different.
So that explains all the trout images on your Instagram.
Yeah, man.
Is there a fun trout love?
Yeah, I'm addicted to trout. And now that, you know, obviously we've progressed over time and being able to incorporate the fly fishing with the kayak fishing now is just, it's a whole different world for me. It's pretty cool, that's for sure. Amongst everything else, you know, it's hard to choose what you want to do on any given day. So many angling opportunities out here. So, yeah.
So as you stuck with this thing as you got older, I mean, was there a time when you kind of, you know, as you're growing up, you kind of paused for a little bit, took like a little brief stint away and then came back maybe a little bit later and fell in love with it all over again? Or is it just
no, man, it's literally since day one I've been addicted. Like I was that kid who is out in the thunderstorms while you're out camping and fishing and not catching fish but still fishing anyways because I was addicted. I was that kid who wouldn't sleep the night before going on a fishing trip because all I could think about was fishing and how excited I was. And it's crazy, man, because that still continues to this day. Like there will be times, I mean, obviously I'm an early guy. I like getting up at like 2-3 in the morning, getting ready, getting out there on the water before the sun's coming up. And I know Doyle, if he's watching, he can attest to that too. He absolutely hates it, man. He's not a morning guy, but it's rooted in me, man. It's an addiction. I've never taken a break from fishing. It's just honestly just progressed further and further to the point I'm at right now where I've incorporated, you know, the filmmaking content piece with it too, something I've been doing for a really long time but only got serious with it in the past couple of years. But yeah, there's never been any breaks, Chad. It's just been full tilt since day one. And so, I don't see it stopping anytime soon, that's for sure.
What did the filmmaking part of it come? Well, how did content and film come into play? I mean, what made you decide to kind of take that direction?
Yeah, so when I in my early teenage years, like when I finally got a car and my buddy Johnny's watching, he knows, like we'd go hit the rivers around here. There's a few different rivers in the city, some really good urban fishing around here for smallmouth, largemouth. World-class musky fishing. Like there's some really good fishing in the area and we'd go out and just hit the rivers all the time. And I'd always have that one GoPro with me, you know, just film everything as much as possible. Wasn't serious about it. We were just out having a good time. And, back at the time technology was different. So I, used the GoPro Quick app, super, super basic, but you'd throw all the footage in there. It would either, you know, create an edit for you. You add your own music and there's your video, you export it. And I used to just start doing that after our fishing sessions, just to literally not to show anyone, just to send to my buddies to get them stoked about the next trip and like get them amped up on our evening and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it all started. And I honestly didn't see the power of like YouTube, for example, back when it was in its heyday, like when it was just starting out, like 2014, 2015, around there, like when John B and all those guys were starting out, Mr. Beast, everything like that. You know, I didn't even think about that at the time. And you know, a couple of years ago, I was, you know, I watch fishing videos all the time on YouTube and I'm just like, why don't I do this? Like, I could just do this, you know, no expectations, just jump into it. I didn't know much about the fundamentals of filmmaking and things like that at the time. You know, I'm really lucky to have some really good buddies, you know, in my life who I've learned a lot from. Ryan Pizzicala, shout out, Doyle Smith, obviously, a few other guys as well. And I've tried to soak in so much along the way that I'm at the point now where I've kind of developed my own style and, you know, comfortable with the editing and, you know, all the fundamentals of filmmaking and as much as possible, obviously trying to learn all the time. But Yeah, it's really just snowballed and progressed over time. Started as something super basic and just went from there.
Awesome, man. Talking about YouTube 2014, I would say Zach and I will say openly, and I know Zach will too, I regret not spending the money and going for it then. And
we backed off the pedal instead of pushing down on it harder.
Yeah,
for sure. I think, you know, I think there's a lot of people that probably thought that, like, maybe not yet. I think a lot of people wait till the time's right, and man, wish I'd have started in 2014.
I know. It would have been you just didn't realize, like, what kind of money you could be making at this point. It's like buying crypto back when that was starting, you know? It's like, man, I should have done that. But you know what? The time is now, and there's no better time than now. That's the way I look at it. Don't live in the past. You just got to move forward. So,
yeah. And I don't even think at the time we were looking at it as like an income source as much as we were like brand deals. And, you know, maybe eventually we had this grand idea to like build a network of shows and different things like that. But yeah, we didn't even, I don't think at the time realized like the financial side of it was going to be as substantial as it was.
It would have been huge by now. And, you know, I think, like you said, that technology was still really new, and it's amazing how far it's come. But, you know, when you look at that technology, when you started piecing things together, how was that, you know, like when you launched your first video, do you ever look back at it and go, man, that was horrible?
I don't think you're any YouTuber, man. I think whoa, there goes all my lights. Hold on. I think that's the case for every YouTuber. I was going to say, man, it's so funny you say that, though. I was literally just watching one of my first videos the other day. I was going through like the first couple of them just for fun. And man, they're bad. They're so bad. But it's kind of cool to look at in a sense, because you can see how much you've progressed. And you look at that journey from then and to now, and it's just a really good feeling, you know. It's it's cool in a sense, but man, cringy though.
Usually feel that way by the time I'm exporting an edit. I'm like, this sucks at this point. Like, I don't
even want to put this out, man.
Yeah, basically.
Zach and Doyle carry some same similarities, Tyler. Zach is that guy that will send you the edit every now and then, and just be like, I don't know if it's ready yet. What do you think?
Yeah,
and you watch it, and you're like, dude, just send it. He's like, I don't know.
And you don't think I need to back to square one.
Days. Yeah, and then he sends it again, and you watch it again. It's like, just send it. I just chuck it and forget.
That's it. And on to the next. But no, it's tough though, man, because it's like you put so much into it, and it's like a vulnerability thing too. You know, it's like you can't let. Because there's a lot of trolls out there. There's a lot of people who are going to criticize, and you kind of just have to drown out the noise and just focus on what you're doing, you know?
No, 100%. Like, and I don't even get, I'm my own worst critic, so I could care less what everybody else is saying or thinking. I've already picked it apart 10 ways to Sunday by the time they even get to put their little comment on social media. So, but no, you're right. I mean, there's so many keyboard warriors and, you know, basement dwellers out there firing off their own opinions that, you know, that it can be a pretty negative space at times. But
well, and you know, to that, tournament fishing can be a very negative space as well. And you know, I mean, when you look at, you know, someone that is a creator and does these things, they're just as, I mean, it's just as deep a love and a passion for it. And it is, I mean, when you go out, you are competing with Mother Nature. So, you know, I think there's a lot there, man. How do you feel like when you set up to go and film for a day, Tyler, like compare that to, I don't know if you've done any tournaments or any type of things like that, but, you know, kind of compare and contrast maybe a little bit on the differences between the two.
Yeah, I honestly haven't sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. I was rambling. It's what I do. Oh,
to cut you off, man. I haven't done too many tournaments in a sense. I actually only really got into kayak fishing about 2-3 years ago, to be honest with you. We'll jump into that in a bit there. I could tell you about that. But honestly, it's evolved over time. In the beginning, it was like, I need to make a video at it at all costs, man. Like, no matter what happens tonight, I got to make a video. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to produce something just for the sake of producing something. And over time, I've sort of learned that, you know, story is king, and taking your time. And, you know, if something doesn't, I mean, it's fishing. I say it all the time. Like, it's not like we're filming product reviews in our basement. You know what I mean? Like, the right. fish don't cooperate a lot of the time. So you really have to be able to adapt and just work on putting that story together and really, you know, start building that community that you're trying to build and like-minded people. And I wish I had the contrast to reference. I am entering a bunch of tournaments this year, kayak bass tournaments, which I'm really excited about. That'll be a cool little adventure on the side for me. So I am quite competitive when it comes to that sort of thing. So that'll be interesting. But it's just been an evolution over time, just to slow down, you know, really get those shots, take your time, and just enjoy the process. I find so many times, like, a lot of the times I have to remind myself, like, you love doing this, man. Like, why are you stressing out right now? You know, like, you need to calm down. Remember that this is fishing. You're doing it because you love fishing, and you can't let the content thing and, like, numbers or subscribers or whatever get in the way of that. You know, got to remind myself.
Are you self-filming most of the time?
Am I self-filming? Oh, all the time. Yeah, that's... I mean, from time to time, like Doyle and I and Ryan, we fish quite often together. So it's kind of nice when we do, because we'll take turns actually filming each other and getting shots for each other and stuff like that, and photos, which is nice. But like my base has always been doing it all myself. So, you know, I've spent hours just learning how to use Premiere Pro, like working on getting faster with that and just more effective and developing my own style over time. I just think the count, I'm at 125 videos on the YouTube channel. So, you know, we got a good little base of content there, really starting to learn what I enjoy putting together and, you know, different types of projects and stuff like that. I really want to start branching out and doing things for other people as well too. I've learned through this process that I just love creating stuff and being able to be the one behind the camera filming someone else and getting really creative with the shots and movement and just my own vision is something I've learned to really enjoy. So I think that might be in the future as well.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer when you can just focus on working behind the camera and you're not having to try and set up shots and be the, you know, the subject and make sure framing's right and, you know, framing it, or you can crop in and create some movement. And I mean, it's just the self-filming side of it is exponentially difficult.
It's tough, man, for sure. Yeah. A lot of failures. There's going to be a lot of times where, like you said, you know, you look at a project and go, man, like, I'm just going to put this out, forget about it, and move on to the next one. But you never know what resonates with people. And I find there's a big change lately with content in general, where people aren't looking for those crazy fast, like, transitions and stuff like that. Just something more raw, you know, it's just something that people can connect with. And if they resonate with you, they'll stick around and watch your stuff. It's good. You build that community.
Yeah, for sure. Now,
interesting one from the audience. Wyatt said, I feel that YouTube is so established and it would be very difficult to be successful. We're going to say today. How do you feel about that?
It's a valid point, you know, and we were kind of just talking about it. You know, we should have taken YouTube more seriously back when it started in 2015. But honestly, like, it's established, but it really depends what your goals are. I find that if you know, I was looking at stats sometime and it was like only, what was it, like 3% of channels actually hit 1,000 subscribers or more. So many people these days will jump into it expecting immediate success, not realizing the amount of work involved to actually get somewhere with it. You know, you might be a fluke and people just love you right off the bat. People, like, you'll blow up in a couple months, but that's really not the case with most people. Like, you have to grind. Like, your first, like, no one knows who you are. No one cares about your videos. Like, you really slowly just have to keep chipping away, not worry about the numbers. Just focus on the passion itself, the passion for fishing. you know, and what you're doing this for. And it is the same case for me. I remember looking back, my buddy Johnny, I'm like, someone's watched our, like, our videos for 20 hours, like 20 hours of watch time. Like, that's insane. It's mind blowing to me. And, you know, just to watch that progress over time, it's like, it's surreal, man. I still can't believe it, where we're at right now compared to where we were a couple years ago. Like, it's humbling, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think a big part of it these days too, from what I hear, I mean, there's a lot more aspects to the YouTube game than what there once was too, with the algorithms and now with shorts, and, you know, shorts basically being reels on Instagram. And, you know, I've been hearing there's a lot of emphasis on shorts, because a lot of people will just get on there and burn through a bunch of shorts rather than watching long form content, where you or I or Chad, we're jumping on there looking for something, you know, 12, 15 minutes. If it's later in the evening, maybe 30 to 48 minutes, we're looking to get something out of this, or, you know, a cinematic, you know, piece we can, you know, really sink our teeth into and enjoy. And there's still a lot of us out there that are, you know, consuming the longer form content. But I think, especially with the younger crowd these days, you're seeing shorter and shorter attention spans. So you both sides of the ball. And it's a content machine. It will eat up a ton of, you know, a footage, or like Instagram too. I mean, you know, pound through footage and photos, and it takes a ton to keep it going and to be consistent with it. I mean, that's the other side of that coin, is I think to get consistent growth, you've got to have posts either weekly or twice a week.
Yeah, I mean, the consistency piece is huge. You know, and that was my mentality back when I first started. It was like, I need to have a video per week out. And, you know, that was fine in the beginning. But what I'm learning is, like, I try to focus myself on quality over quantity. So, you know, I'll take a couple weeks to put a video together, but when I put that video out, it's all encompassing. It's, you know, it's what I've experienced over the past couple months. Like for ice fishing, for example, I couldn't put like a full what I consider like a good video together for a month. And I finally had a decent day of fishing, and I told the story of the past month, you know, what happened over the past month. This is what's been going on. You know, be smart, save your footage from other trips. Even if you're not catching fish, it's all part of the story. And yeah, man, I wish, you know, like the younger generation attention spans are just brutal, but you're right though. I mean, there's a lot of people out there still looking for that longer form content, and, you know, it's not going anywhere. It's always going to be a thing. But if anyone watching right now has a YouTube channel, or is just thinking of getting started out or going right now, and you don't think it's going anywhere, just keep plugging away, man. Like, just don't worry about the numbers for now. Just keep going, and, you know, you're consistent, it will pay off eventually, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at it as a labor of love. You've got to create for the love of creating and not for somebody else, because
that's it. I mean, obviously that's the name of the game, man.
That's going to kill the quality of the content if you're doing it for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, and it's learning too over time, right? Like YouTube is the second, if not the biggest, search engine at this point, aside from Google. So you got to clue into that. Go, man, maybe I could make a video about putting together this Black Pack Pro. Maybe some people are more visual learners than reading a manual. So you might not think anything of this video. You slap something together, and over time, it's just going to get views and views, because people are using YouTube as a search engine. So if you kind of have that mentality, you know, there's always going to be room for videos of trips and stuff like that. But, you know, tips, anything that people think or will help them catch more fish, or just, you have to have that mentality if you want to grow as well. Be strategic about your content, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think you talk about YouTube being the biggest search engine. It's kind of a double-edged sword with YouTube, because while you're building this channel, you're also pulling research in with YouTube, learning to film, learning different camera angles. I mean, it's really a full circle operation. Not only are you using it to grow and find success in an area, but it's your school at the same time.
100%, man. Like, you would think my search history on YouTube is like, it's all fishing stuff. It's the complete opposite. It's all camera media related. Like, you know, it has nothing to do with fishing. It's we live and experience that. It's a different ball game at that point. You know, depends how serious you want to get about it too. What I love is that I have this log now of all these experiences, like all these trips from out west that I've documented, and you know, these times out with the boys where something happened, like Doyle got a musky bait in his hand and we had to pull it out with the pliers, and just stuff like that, that, you know, it's priceless, and I'll always be able to get to see it. Like, it's literally like a free bank for all your content. Like, you can't really get that these days. So it's cool in a sense, you know.
Everybody's home videos now live on the internet forever.
Exactly. Just upload. You don't need a VCR anymore, man. Just jump on YouTube. Yeah.
Hey, don't talk about my VCR. But no, and it's, you know, one of the things I think that, you know, anybody that's thinking about a YouTube channel and like, oh man, that's just so much work. That's just so much work. Yes, it is. But the content for your other places that come from filming, self-filming yourself and taking the steps to do this process, it's unimaginable. I mean, you can create a video, and the amount of content that you have that you can pull from that one video, it's insane. I mean, it can be a month's worth of photo and video clips if you wanted it to be.
Yeah,
if you talk to the camera enough, anyway.
Yeah, no, it's true, and I mean, it can also be like, it's a double-edged sword. Like, there's no feeling like when you put a video out and you just see it like take off right away and it just keeps going and going, and it's like, man, people are loving this video. And then there's the flip side where you think you just made the best freaking video you've ever made, man, and you put it out and it just, no one watches it. But then all of a sudden a year later, like one of my videos, you look at the view chart and it's like this, then all of a sudden now it's like this. It's just things happen like that, you know. Like, that's why I always say you got to just keep plugging away, because things change. You got to let those videos soak, you know. It's but so many emotions, it's like riding a roller coaster. It's tough sometimes.
You never know when one of them's going to get bumped into the Discover page and then pushed by the algorithm all of a sudden, and it just takes off.
That right title, that right thumbnail, that's all it takes for someone to click. And, you know, you keep them on there long enough, they watch another video. It's like, it happens quick. Like, I've experienced it. Like, I was telling you on the last podcast, Chad, like that one video I put out in the winter there, it elevated things. We went from 1,200 subscribers to just over 17,000 now at this point. And, you know, I still don't believe it. It doesn't make sense to me, but it's what I always told myself, like, just keep going and good things will happen, you know. And again, like, being surrounded by like-minded people is the name of the game, and it's something I'm so thankful for. So
like-minded people makes a huge difference. Crazy, I mean, such a huge difference. Just somebody that you can bounce stuff off with goes such a long way.
Yeah. Especially when people like who know what they're doing, like Ryan, he works with the new Fly Fisher. So he's, you know, video production for them. Doyle has the photography background. And I mentioned these guys because these are the guys I hang out with the most. You know, there's Johnny too, who has always been there. We out on the boat together, filming each other and just brothers for life type thing. But, it just, the amount of knowledge you soak in without even realizing it is unreal. It's really cool.
Sure. Now, who outside of the fishing channels on YouTube, man, who are you watching?
What's that, sir?
Who are you watching on YouTube? What's your go-tos?
Oh man, that's a good question.
Non-fishing related. Let's go there.
Non-fishing related. Yeah. Daniel Schiffer, Peter McKinnon. Man, there's so many guys actually who just make really good stuff. What's his, Sam Newton?
Yeah.
Just a bunch of filmmaker guys, man. It just gives me ideas. I actually saw the trailer for the Joker, the new Joker movie, the other day, and man, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but like a complete side note, but it's looks wicked, man. Like this, the cinematography, the way they color graded it. Like it's just, there's so many intricacies. You have to watch it over and over again to really see it. But, yeah, it's just cool, man. There's just so much you can learn, and it just gets me so motivated. I just want to pick up the camera and get out there after watching those videos, you know?
Nick and I had that with Griselda on Netflix. We watched that, and it, at the end of it, it's like, that was filmed so well.
You respect it.
Talk like about you, how well it's filmed.
Yeah, it's really cool. I watch a bunch of like just how to be a YouTuber, but just, I don't know. there's all sorts of videos, man.
All the stuff from creators. I mean, just different filming techniques and, you know, the back end stuff with camera settings and, you know, editing tricks. And I mean, you truly never stop learning.
No, for sure. And I kind of like, I'm a techie at heart. So it's, I like all those technical videos where you're talking about settings and this and that and getting really in the weeds about it too. It's always something I've liked. So there's always that too. Modifying cameras, uploading different kinds of firmware, stuff like that, you know, it's just nerdy things, but I enjoy them.
That can be a whole Saturday during the winter months, real easy around here.
Just
sit there and just digest as much YouTube as possible. You mentioned Peter McKinnon. I gotta throw Matty Hapoya out there. That was one of my big go-tos. He needs to come back. Come back to YouTube.
He's got a lot of progression himself, man. I mean, I just saw you bought a Red camera a couple months ago. That's not a small investment. You're doing big things if you're buying a Red camera, man.
Yeah. Well, you could be like Pete. Pete bought one and then sold it because he was like, I don't need that. I'll just go back to my Canon.
100%. 100%. You know, you can make videos with a phone these days. That's all you really need. You don't really need to push it further than that, but if you get the bug and you get addicted to it, I mean, there's nothing wrong with more gear. What, man,
with the new iPhone and the Apple ProRes RAW setting and the ability to film straight to an SSD hooked to your phone, so it's not taking up your onboard storage. You know, the cages and the phone cases where you can screw in your, you know, 67 millimeter variable NDs and circular polarizers and black mist filters and this, that, and the other. And then really the only thing you're missing is the depth of field. But between the ProRes RAW setting, and then I downloaded the Blackmagic makes a camera app for the iPhone specifically, and it's only for video. But it does an excellent job. It gives you so much control over all the settings. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I have an S23 Ultra. I'm a Samsung guy, but like it's a content beast. Like the things this phone can do, but you know, so much gear. I always forget about how good the quality is on the phone, and then I'll quickly film something just to like, it's easier to grab the phone than to grab the camera at the front of the kayak. And I'm like, man, why don't I use this more often? It's nuts. Like, it's such good quality. It's pretty cool that we've come this far, you know?
With good lighting and the right settings, it does look pretty solid.
That's it. That's all you need.
And you got a lot of companies out there, like Small Rig and some of the others, really making a lot of stuff for your phone so you can hold it better, attach microphones better, just do all kinds of things better with your phone than you've ever been able to do.
Yeah.
I was just on the Polar Pro website the other day, and I'm trying to talk myself into that phone case they've got specifically.
The cart's ready to go, eh?
I know.
It's deadly,
I know.
Man.
I'm like a $90 phone case, like really? But it, man, just to have it cover over the lenses. Yeah. It's a business expense, right?
Yeah,
business. Sounds good.
Exactly. Sounds like it's a write-off, man. It's a write-off.
Yeah. We have become that YouTube, short. It's a write-off. A write-off. Man, let's circling back though. Like, how did you get into kayak fishing? Obviously, fly fishing and the different things. I mean, what brought you into kayak fishing as part of this journey?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I was always a bank fisherman, you know, like growing up, I never had a boat. I was either in waders or I was on the bank fishing for whatever. I'm not impartial to any kind of species, really. It's whatever I'm sort of feeling, and the odd boat trip here and there. Johnny's got a boat, but a couple of years ago, Ryan Doyle, another buddy of ours who don't really talk to anymore, Luke, but we wanted to do like a friendly little bass tournament on a back lake out here in Eastern Ontario, and everyone had a kayak except for me. And Doyle was like, no worries, man, I'll reach out to Will Richardson. You know, he's got a couple kayaks. We'll throw it on top of my car. We'll go out there and you can try it out. So I was like, all right, cool, man. I didn't really think anything of it. I'm like, all right, I've been in canoes before and that's always been good, and boats and stuff like that. So my first kayak experience was in a Jackson Kilroy. Really cool little boat, man. I must say it's a little bit of a different experience than your typical sit on top, because you're sitting in the boat. But I hit the water, and I remember because I was filming that day, and I went back and watched the footage, and I didn't win the tournament. It was brutal. I didn't catch too many fish, but all I could see in the footage was just me talking to myself about how epic it was to be out on a kayak and just what I could do with it. Like, just the ability to go anywhere on the lake. You know, it feels good to be paddling and just to get into these tight spots of the kayak. And like, I became addicted immediately. Like, I knew I needed to get my own kayak. So, you know, I did a little research and I ended up getting the Jackson Bite, like first generation Jackson Bite. Great little boat. Call it the Hot Tamale. I still have it. I just pulled her out of the backyard today, actually. And that's where it all started, man. I've been addicted since. Like, I was looking at my bank of content, actually, and my first 20, 25 videos were made on my phone, but it was all bank fishing up to it like a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden it was just kayak fishing. It's like a full transition almost. And it's so fun, man. I really got the feel for it the past couple of years with the Bite. Really love the platform. And you know, I recently just purchased Bite FD. So, you know, I'm a research guy. I'll take a couple days. I'll look into like absolutely everything I'm considering. And I've only experienced Jackson and just love the kayaks, man. Like, I don't want to try anything else. I know there's a bunch of brands out there. There's some nice yaks for sure, but I just love my Jackson. And you know, for what I do, for how I transport the kayak, for what I need it for, the Bite's the perfect platform for me. And to be able to throw the drive system into that, I'm counting the days till it gets here, man, till I get to go to Frontenac Outfitters and go pick it up. Charlie was saying it's being molded as we speak, so pretty excited for that. But you know, like in the early season, after we get out of ice fishing, I'll do a bit of shore fishing and stuff like that. But it's like, my heart's with the kayak, you know. I just can't wait to get back out on the boat. And I'm excited for this year. Some plans to hit some bigger lakes in the area. I never really had the confidence to hit with, you know, without a drive system, in case I really needed to get out of a situation. Or bigger water is a different story, man. I know you can probably relate, but kayak fishing's unreal. It's unreal. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, you don't have to use gas. The only gas you're using is what you're using to get out there in your vehicle. And man, it's fun, man. It's just too good.
And dude, to be honest with you, I mean, that's what hooked Zach and I. I mean, the first time I remember we went and picked up our kayaks at the department store, we'll call it. We literally drug them down the hill to that pond around Zach's parents' house. Yep. And that was our first day in the boats. And it was a blast, man. It was just, I don't think we like caught a bunch of fish, but we caught a few fish and we figured out to keep our shoes on because our feet got so sunburned. It was unreal.
But, it happens quick, man.
And we quickly figured out we needed to go to Walmart and buy some yoga blocks to shove inside the hull. So we,
Cause the department store kayak was a little leaky and a little flimsy at the time.
Yeah.
It shows how far they've come.
Oh yeah.
But, no, I mean, it was really cool. And to test some of the boats that we've all had the luxury to test, you know, like the Bite FD, talking about it, and the regular Bite, Said, I mean, they're not huge platforms, but man, they do so much so well.
Versatile. Yeah.
I mean, you just, there's a comfort level with them, and you don't feel, you feel like you're almost on a stand up paddleboard in a way, just the way that the deck sits and everything.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just a cool feeling little boat.
Yeah. And I love standing up and fishing. So like I'll be standing on my kayak more than I'm sitting in the day. Like and it's just so stable, man. Like I remember when I first got up there and started standing on it, you're just like, oh, you don't even want to move, you know? And then by the end of that session, you're just rocking back and forth on it. Like, it's crazy, man. It's so cool. And I had no idea of how, and it's even evolved since a couple of years ago, but just like, it's like having a little bass boat, man. Mm-hmm. Like I had no idea that companies were making kayaks like this specifically for fishing. Like I always thought, you know, the typical like sit inside kayaks and no attachment points, just not made for fishing. But when I discovered this world and was introduced to it and just saw like what's involved, I was like, man, this is unreal. Like this is what I've always wanted my whole life. Like I'd always dreamed about having a boat, and now I have my own little boat. I can fully customize it the way I want to, and it's crazy. It's awesome.
Yeah,
and
that's one of the first times we put our eyes on a Jackson, or maybe even the first time we were in a Jackson was up there at the Boat Sport and Travel, and we put all three of us on a big rig. And after we did that, we were kind of like, all right, these things are pretty serious at this point. I think this is the route we can go.
Yeah. It changed our view and our future forever. Just getting comfortable in a kayak, it was just like we thought it looked cool, and then it was like, holy cow, something we gotta do.
Yeah.
But you know, talking about rigging for fishing, but as a YouTuber, my gosh, these boats are rigged for filming.
There's a lot of possibilities, man.
Yeah, I mean, with camera boom arms and the different things like that. I mean, you don't even have to be an angler. If you're just a traveling YouTuber with a vlog series where you freaking live in a van, I mean, the attachment points to keep your vlog going are insane with what you can do with the kayak of all sorts.
Yeah. And just even like getting it just creative with the angles and stuff. Like, obviously, you're on a boat, there's only so far you can go, but with creativity, man, I guess sky's the limit, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wyatt with the take two. That's a cool boat, man. Being able to turn a tandem boat into like a fully dedicated, like NAR type fishing boat. That's pretty cool. All these guys turning them into fishing boats, man. I like that. That's cool.
Oh man. And talk about that boat compared to the NAR. That boat, when I set the take two and my NAR on the trailer side by side, it absolutely dwarfs the NAR. And the NAR's a big boat.
Yeah. I've never seen a take two in real life. I don't know how like actual big it is. So it looks big, dude, in the pictures, but yeah, I can imagine. And you put it into perspective there just now. So yeah, I've seen a NAR.
It's bigger, wider. It's longer, wider, taller. Gosh, it's just,
it's big.
It's a big boat. It is big boat. And my gosh, it's stable. You can literally push down on one side of it. It's got so much volume in it. It wants to shove the whole hull right back up out of the
water. Right back, that's cool.
It's neat. Definitely worth a try if you ever get to go over to Frontenac and try one out, man. It's fun. It's a neat boat.
Especially definitely this year, try a couple different boats out just to experience it, you know. I'd like to try something with a motor too. That'd be pretty cool. We'll start with the paddle drive and go from there though.
I'm
excited for that Mark II, man. Seen some videos. She's pretty quick.
It is it's amazing how fast that boat is with that drive. It'll crawl up a river. You'll be impressed. You'll be impressed.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. It's gonna be good.
I'm looking forward to seeing. I think your YouTube channel is gonna change up a little bit. You're gonna be going out, definitely hitting some different places that you probably hadn't thought about before.
Yeah, there's a lake in the area called Big Rito Lake, and it's renowned for the size of fish in there, man. Like, it's like St. Lawrence River. Like, the smallmouth in there are mutants. Like, they don't even make sense, you know. And this lake's like that too, but I've always kind of shied away from it because just because of the paddling aspect. And you know, it can get nasty pretty quick out there. It's a big lake, but definitely feeling confident going out there this year and really amping things up. So, and it'll be good for tournaments too, the virtual tournaments. So it'll be kind of a cool hand-in-hand piece, be able to document both at the same time, you know. It'll be interesting.
Are you gonna film while you're fishing some of these tournaments?
Oh yeah,
that'll be fun, dude.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I'd like to document it for sure, because so many guys are getting interested in it now, and a lot of people haven't taken the plunge yet. Like, I mean, I've been holding back and just been watching buddies do the tournaments and stuff like that. And it's not like it's crazy serious. I mean, it's virtual tournament, but there's still that level of competitiveness where you want to be number one, you know? So it's going to be a bit of incorporating how I like to fish, tips and stuff like that, along with the tournament piece. So it should be interesting. I'm excited for it.
Dude, I'm excited to watch and see how it all comes together. I think, buddy. You know, those travel vlogs and the series like that, I think, are a lot of fun on the big boat side. And like you said, there's not a lot of that really in the kayak side. You get a little bit of it, but not really a whole lot of, you know, really turn it into a vlog style series.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's its own little niche really in the fishing world. And, you know, I've sort of, you know, I do fishing videos, but it's all types of stuff. I mean, like lately, unless it's the winter and we're ice fishing, it's mainly been kayak stuff, but you know, I still, there's the odd time I'll still like to fish from the bank, like go do some urban fishing here in the city. You'd be amazed how many quarries and rock pits have big old bass. You know, it's just so cool finding little spots like that. It's such a cool feeling. So that's always going to be a part of what I do. But man, the kayak fishing is just, it's addictive, man.
So what do you got next? I mean, what's the future look like for you as far as, you know, what you're planning on, are you going to keep rolling with YouTube and get it as big as you can? I mean, what's the future look like?
Yeah, no, for sure, man. I just found out my AdSense pin is on the way in the mail, which is really exciting. I mean, it's always been a dream of mine to make some sort of money from doing what I love, and that's fishing. So being able to get to this point now with YouTube it's such an accomplishment, and you know, for me, that it's just even more motivation to keep going hard and keep evolving the videos and just continuing to build the community, man. I find it so cool that, you know, you're putting your own videos out there, and anyone from the world can watch and you know, make a comment and follow what you're doing. And I just think that's so cool. So yeah, there's no stopping. If anything, we're just going to go harder now. I really want to get to the point where I do it full time, to be honest with you. You know, right now I work for a telecommunications company here in Canada by day as a public sector account executive. And then, you know, I look at YouTube as like my side job type thing. I put just as much effort into that, if not more, than I do my regular work. So man, being able to do that full time would be just the coolest thing in the world. So that's the next goal, essentially. I don't know how that will come together and how it will work. I'll have to see how things go as we progress, but that's the goal for sure.
Yeah.
I like it, man. I like it. I think that's admirable. I mean, because I think there's a lot of people that don't understand just the amount of work it is and the amount of gratification that would come from being able to go full time and provide and make a living from it. It's crazy that we can do that in fishing from that platform.
Yeah, no, it's unreal, man. Like I always, as a kid, I always just like, I want to be a, because at the time all I knew is being a pro fisherman, you know, like I just want to fish for a living. I always said that, and like I'm sitting here right now going like, if I go hard enough, like I might be able to fish for a living. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's, and like what Christian just said, that you don't realize how time consuming it is. So you jump into it. It's so true, man. Like, especially if you're putting your heart and soul into it and you're really focusing on all the little details in the video, like we talked about the last podcast, you know, spending a couple hours just adding sounds in to enhance the video and just every little detail, man, and really just trying to make your next video better and better and keep evolving over time. It takes a lot out of you. You know, you work a full day, 8 hours, and then you put another 8 hours in editing, or you're going out fishing, you're filming all day, and like it never ends, man. It's constant, like constant. You have to keep going. And
you have to enjoy it, because if you don't,
you do. You really do. And that's why so many people quit, man. They don't realize how much work it is, and they don't see success right away, and they just quit. So for those who stick it out, man, you'll feel the rewards eventually. You'll feel success for sure, whatever that looks like to you, you know.
Well, dude, and that's the same way we think with like either the hunting or fishing industry. People come out guns blazing, man. They buy all the stuff. They hit all the events. They're at this, they're at that. You know, they've got a YouTube channel. They're going to be the next big thing. And a year later, it's like, what happened to Jimmy?
Where's Jimmy, out, man?
He's at home.
Little Jimmy. You know,
he sold it all.
Yeah, I know for sure. And it's important to take breaks too. Like when you're going this hard on it, it's just like anything else. Like you can get burnt out. And there's been times, you know, over the past couple of years when I've recognized that, like, I need to take a break. And that's not a bad thing, man. Like, you know, being consistent is one thing, but your mental health and, you know, the motivation to do what you love to do, if you're all of a sudden lacking that, like, you gotta take a step back and evaluate, take a little time, separate yourself, and then come right back into it. The filming aspect, at least, you know what I mean? So
even the bigger guys like Maddie and Pete, you know, we mentioned, I mean, you see them take breaks for 2-3 weeks at a time sometimes, because creativity gets stale. You've got to step away from it and do something different to hopefully come back and bring something new into what you're doing, and to be able to spark some new creativity and
new styles, definitely important.
New techniques. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like any other job.
Exactly. Yeah, no, for sure. But the best part is when you can combine vacations with creating content. Like last fall there, I went down to the Bahamas for a week and a half. And oh man, that's a different world, man. I brought down two travel rods with me, some medium travel rods. And like I was getting bitten off like butter on like 80-100 pound fluro and barracudas just right offshore behind the hotel, you know. It's like stuff like that, like, yeah, man, you can't beat that. Those types of experiences, and that's what it's all about in the end, you know. You only live once, and it's all about those experiences that you have. Being able to document them and share them with others is just a bonus. So
and you said it perfectly, and we get one trip around. There's no do-overs, there's no nothing. You don't want to be that 80-year-old dude that's sitting there going, man, I just wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done it. You don't want to be me and Zach sitting here going, I wish we'd have spent a little extra money in 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
It's good to do it now.
Yeah, no.
Ed.
Oh, for sure. And no regrets, you know. I mean, I'm thinking about buying a kayak. Buy it, man. Like, if you're good, like, just buy it. Like, do your research and just buy it. Like, more than ever, I've just been thinking about that, and you just got to live, man. That's what it's all about. So go out and do it.
Yeah.
Take your spin and go.
Yeah,
man. What I love in this conversation is like, I can see as we've progressed through this, like how much more fired up you've gotten since we started. Like, you're ready to go now.
No, man, I'm seriously, man. I've noticed it too. Like, I feel like a kid in a candy store right now, man, because a lot of the time you know, you get caught up in the day-to-day, and you like being able to answer these questions and reflect on the past and where you started, where you are now. And like when you first got into kayak fishing, it just triggers so many memories. And oh man, it's so, I feel like I drank a Red Bull right now. Like I'm freaking out, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a good feeling, man. It's cool.
That is awesome. And that's the way it's supposed to feel. You know, I mean, Zach's getting ready to head out to Redding to go to a big archery shoot. I've got a deal this weekend where I'm going to be
technically it's work, but
Technically, and technically, you know, my event this weekend is work for the USA Bass and JK Trail, but it's like at the same time, like I'm fired up to go. Like it's kind of like as
heck yeah, man.
As this week progresses, it's like let's go, let's go. Yeah. Cameras are charged, let's go. Drone's been charged for like 4 days now, which is a world record.
It's been charged so much that the batteries have drained themselves a little bit, and you got to recharge them again. Eh? Yeah,
that's exactly.
Don't you hate that, man?
Oh,
don't
man.
You hate that?
You think you're fully charged, you get out there, each battery's at like 60%, you got 15 minutes of fly time. It's like sweet, man.
Yeah,
no battery worse than the.
Glad I bought that fly more combo.
Yeah, just keep feeding the batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I must say though, like especially in my area here, because this is where I live, you know, Ontario. The kayak fishing community is tight, man. It's a really good group of people. If you've ever wanted to, you know, jump into it, I highly suggest it. Everyone's super supportive, and everyone just wants to see everyone have a good time and, you know, just succeed and help each other out, learn, and it's just a cool community to be part of. So. Yeah, pretty happy about that. Lucky.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Wyatt is informing us that it's only Tuesday.
Hush. Tuesday's almost over, dude.
This is like Wednesday at noon.
Almost hump day, man.
It's almost halfway through hump day. We're over. Nah, man, that's awesome. It makes, like, just being able to feed off your big fish energy and dude, that's awesome.
I appreciate it, man. It's so funny because the fiance, she's been incredibly, I don't know if she'll end up watching this, but the amount of support I get from her, man, like it's absolutely unreal. Like when I'm down, she lifts me up, and I have to give a shout out to her. She's always, you know, I'll say bye like lightly in the morning when I'm leaving at like 2 a.m. She's always go get, you know, I'm sending you all the big fish energy. She always says it, man. It's always such a good start to my day. And oh man, it's it just reminds you that the, you know, there's just there's worse problem. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like if you're having issues or you're stressing out about something, just put it aside, man, and just look at the positives in life and what's around you and everything like that, and just move forward and have a good time. So I had to mention her though, just because of the amount of support she's given me, and you know, never complaining when I'm going out like fishing 5, 6, 7 times a week. Like, you know, it's just constant support, and you know, it's helped me get to where I am now. So I'm super thankful. Yeah,
it sounds like you've chose well, because that's a very important support system to have.
yeah so you don't always get it, man. I've been through a fair amount of girls in the past, and it's not always been the case, so you know,
I notice you say fiance, so this one is the keeper.
Yeah, we're actually getting married later this fall there in November, so gearing up for that this year as well. A lot going on this year, man. It's gonna be a big year for sure.
Congrats.
I'm excited for you, dude.
Man, cheers, appreciate it.
So as we get ready to close this thing out, dude, I want you to, number one, thank anybody that you need to thank, sponsorship, people that help you out. Shout out your social pages, YouTube page, just where people can get more of you, Tyler, and see your creativity, and man, just enjoy that big fish energy.
Yeah, no, cheers, man. I appreciate that. It's so funny for being in this world. I really suck at posting consistently outside of YouTube. A lot of photos and stuff on Instagram, but you can find me at the Big Fish Energy on YouTube. That's my main thing, that's my main focus. In terms of companies, shout out to Jackson Kayak, obviously super happy to have joined the team this year. Feeling blessed really about that, and the belief they have in me and everything like that, and what we can do and what we can bring to the table. And you know, Bass Dash Fishing, been working with them for quite a while now, super supportive. And just, you know, fiance Alianne, parents, always been really supportive, family in general, you know, they're a great support system to lean on. And just the boys, man, Doyle, Ryan, Johnny, if you're watching, love you guys, man. I appreciate everything you do and all the support along the way, all the good times, and there's only more on the way, boys. So yeah, no, we're We're going. Let's go.
It's awesome, man. I love it. As always on the Orion podcast, we'd like to thank Orion Coolers. Pick yourself up an Orion Cooler. Use that code Orion Rocks at checkout. Save yourself a little bit of percent on that purchase. Jackson Kayak, keeping us paddling. Z-Pro Lithium batteries. Man, batteries, they just don't die. That's just all there is to it. They just don't die. Cast King, keeping us casting all year long. All year last year and all year this year. Got a new set of rods. Absolutely love them. Check them out, castking.com. Pick you up some. Evolve Fishing. If you need some like killer rod sleeves, evolvefishing.com. JKT15. Save yourself 15% on those. Gosh, Basco Fishing. Yada, yada, yada. Garage Beer. Got to thank Garage Beer because, you know, we can't. I can't do a podcast without my Garage Beer, and we thank the heck out of them for their support. Check them out, Garage Beer, drink Garage Beer on the socials. It's a good time. But yeah, that's all
I'm gonna have to come that down your way and try some Garage Beer, man.
Dude, we can try all the beer. all of it. There's plenty. So yeah. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you guys on the next one 2 weeks from now. Looking forward to it. Tyler?
Speaking of consistency, hopefully we get consistent again.
Yeah, we're going to try to be more consistent. We're going to try to be more consistent. That's it. Good night, everybody.
Definitely. Thanks for watching.